Acts chapter 28, verse 11. After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of the twin gods, Castor and Pollux. We put in at Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. From there, we set sail and arrived at Rhegium. The next day, the south wind came up, and on the following day, we reached Puteoli, and there we found some brothers who invited us to spend a week with them, and so we went to Rome. The brothers there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Free Tavern to meet us. At the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. 3 days later, he called together the leaders of the Jews. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. But when the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar. Not that I had any charge to bring against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We have not received any letter concerning you, and none of the brothers who has come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect." They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement: "The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will ever be hearing, but never understanding. You will ever be seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless to us this evening his holy and infallible word. My brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am sure that you have had the experience, as I have had, of sitting in the office of a dentist or a doctor. And you may also have had the experience of picking up a magazine, finding an interesting article or story, and beginning to read. And you reach the end of the second page, and there is a little notation that says the article is concluded on page 152. And so you begin to thumb through the magazine to find page 152, and that's not easy in these magazines, as you have discovered. But lo and behold, you find page 150, and the next page is 153. And you hunt in vain, but there is no page 152, and you know the reason. Because on page 151, there was a recipe for jelly salad using rhubarb. Now, you don't find many recipes that use rhubarb in other than a pie. And so this was a particularly good recipe, and some good soul has torn the page out of the magazine, and there you sit, without the end of the story. And you come away frustrated and disappointed. You will never know the end because every magazine in a doctor's office is old, and therefore you can't find a copy on the newsstand. Disappointment and frustration. You know, brothers and sisters, there are people who have the same sort of feeling when they come to the end of the book of Acts, to chapter 28. They feel disappointed and frustrated because somehow the story doesn't come to an end. We follow the life of the Apostle Paul through the drama of his trial in Jerusalem, and then that perilous voyage to Rome, and then the story stops. And we don't know what happens next. What happens to the Apostle Paul? Why isn't the end of the story there? Well, scholars have puzzled about that question, and they've come up with some interesting answers. Some scholars say that Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, really intended to write a trilogy, that is, three books. The Gospel of Luke, the book of Acts, and then a third book that would tell the end of the story. But for some reason, he never got to writing that book. And there are other scholars who say, well, the story had only gone to that point, and there was nothing more to say when Luke was writing. And there are still other scholars who say that Luke had come to the end of his papyrus scroll. In other words, he ran out of paper and so couldn't finish the story. Well, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, may I say to you this evening that the book of Acts is not incomplete. It is not incomplete because under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, the author has brought us precisely to the point he intended. Because the book of Acts is not the life story of Peter, and it's not the life story of the Apostle Paul, as interesting as that would be in itself. But what Acts is all about is summarized in verse 28 of the final chapter, when Paul says, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles. And they will listen. Now, I invite you this evening to consider three things. First of all, the resistance of the Jews to the message of the gospel. And secondly, the redirection of the Christian mission. And finally, the receptivity of the Gentiles to the gospel message. We begin with the resistance of the Jews. Acts 28 tells us about the arrival of Paul in the heartland of the Gentile world, Rome. This is the nerve center of the vast Roman Empire. But the very first thing that the Apostle Paul does is to call together the leaders of the Jews, the leaders of the Israelite community. And Paul begins to explain to these men that he is in Rome as a prisoner in chains for one reason only. And that reason is the hope of Israel. He is a prisoner in chains because of Jesus Christ and the gospel of redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. The very gospel that our prophets have proclaimed through the centuries. That's why I'm here in prison and in chains. Paul set to work to persuade his fellow countrymen concerning the truth of this gospel. But the results were not encouraging. Some did believe, but not many. Because the response of the Jews in Rome was the same as Paul had encountered elsewhere. The response was consistently disappointing. The main theme, or one of the main themes of the book of Acts, is this continued resistance on the part of Israel, God's ancient elect people, to the gospel of sovereign grace in Christ Jesus. Now, there were exceptions, of course. There is always the remnant according to God's electing grace, and we think of those Jews in Berea who were eager to know the truth of the gospel, but the vast majority always resisted the hope of Israel. The Apostle Paul had a deep and a passionate zeal to see his brothers and sisters according to the flesh converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. But now it becomes his solemn duty to make known to them the dreadful consequences of their stubbornness. And that brings us to the redirection of the mission. In verse 28, Paul says to these Jewish leaders, "Because you have rejected the hope of Israel, I want you to know that God's salvation will be sent to the Gentiles. And they will listen." And how painful it must have been for the Apostle Paul to speak this way to his fellow Israelites, because what he was doing was consigning his brothers according to the flesh to an eternal condemnation. The door of salvation is being closed against you. And this wondrous gift of salvation is now going to be sent to these Gentile dogs, these strangers and aliens, for centuries excluded from the covenants of promise. But they will hear what you are refusing to hear. And so the mission of the Apostle Paul and the mission of the Christian church is now definitively redirected. The gospel up to this point had always gone first to the synagogue. But that will no longer be the case. The hope of Israel will now become preeminently the hope of the Gentiles. This is a dramatic and unprecedented turn of events, but the Psalms and the prophets prepared the church for what would happen. Remember in Isaiah 6 how the prophet was sent to shut the eyes of disobedient Israel, but the Lord would open the eyes of the Gentiles. The Lord will lay bare His holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. And that, brothers and sisters, is also why I ask that our service this evening begin with this beautiful version of Psalm 98, one of the clearest declarations of the universal significance of the gospel in all of Scripture. The Lord has made His salvation known and revealed His righteousness to the nations. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Yes, by all means, sing a new song to the Lord, for something new is happening. The Lord's doing is marvelous in our eyes. Brothers and sisters, if you read the book of Acts as a missionary biography, as the life story of the Apostle Paul or the life story of the Apostle Peter, you will come away frustrated and disappointed, because there is so much in their biographies which is missing from the book of Acts. And we do not find out what happens to these people in the end. But if instead of reading the book of Acts as a missionary biography, you read that book as the story of the church, and if you read the book of Acts as the account of the redirection of the mission of the church to the Gentile world, then you are overwhelmed by the dramatic intensity of the book. And you do not come away from it frustrated, but you come away exulting in the grace of God, because Acts 28 takes us precisely to where Luke wants to bring us, to the threshold of the worldwide expansion of the Christian church. We begin to see the triumphal march of Jesus Christ, the King and Head of Nations, through human history. And that, brothers and sisters, is filled with dramatic intensity. That brings us in the third place to the receptivity of the Gentiles. A moment ago, I used some very strong language. The triumphant march of Jesus Christ through human history. Are we warranted in using that kind of strong language? Yes, because the gospel mission is now directed to all the nations of the world. And will that mission be successful? Will that mission bear any fruit? The Apostle Paul says that it will. Read verse 28 again. God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. The Apostle Paul preached the gospel first to the Jews, and they refused to listen. That's what we read in the book of Acts. Now, says Paul, the Gentile world will hear the gospel, and they will listen. And that word listen is a loaded term. You have to remember that Paul is a Jew and he is speaking to Jewish leaders. And in that word, listen, these Jewish leaders hear a Hebrew word, which means not only to give polite attention to someone who is speaking, but to listen means to hear and to understand and to believe and to obey. For exactly the same word in Hebrew means to listen, to hear, and to obey. The Gentiles, the nations of the world, will listen. Now, when Paul says that the nations of the world will listen, he is certainly making a prediction. He is predicting that the Gentile world will respond positively to the gospel. And that prediction has been fulfilled. And it is being fulfilled. And the proof of it is sitting right here in this church this evening. By and large, we are Gentiles, not of that ancient elect people. But we have heard, we have listened, and we have believed. Even stubborn Hollanders and stubborn Scotsmen have listened. And we have believed, and we have even become Calvinists. And the fulfillment, brothers and sisters, of this prediction begins already in the final two verses of Acts. Listen to those verses again. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house, and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the Apostle Paul preaching and teaching in the heartland of the pagan world, and he preaches for 2 years without let or hindrance, freely. The Apostle Paul did not last 1 week in Jerusalem. Remember when he got back to Jerusalem? 1 week. And they had him in jail where he could not preach and teach. That is among the Israelites. But now in the Gentile world, 2 whole years, he preaches and teaches without hindrance, and they will listen. Now, brothers and sisters, maybe you're wondering why I chose to preach on verse 28 in this inaugural sermon. The answer to that question is that verse 28 is not simply a prediction. It is also a promise. A promise. You and I live by faith. And faith takes hold of the promises of God. And what God promises to His church, and what the Lord Jesus Christ promises to Cottage Grove Christian Reformed Church, and what He promises to each one of us is this, that people will listen to the gospel. They will listen, and they will hear it, and they will believe, and they will become obedient to Jesus Christ. And that's the note that I want to sound at the beginning of this pastorate. A note that is positive, that is optimistic, that is forward-looking, and that is Christ-centered. You and I have to grasp the glory and the marvel of that promise that people will listen. Acts chapter 28, verse 28 is one of the most underrated promises in all of Holy Scripture. It is the King and Head of the Church, Jesus Himself, who speaks through the mouth of the Apostle Paul and says, the nations, the peoples will listen. This is the promise that Jesus is asking you and me to believe this evening. Brother, sister, do you believe that the ungodly will listen? Jesus promises that they will. But if we don't believe that promise, then we forfeit the blessing. Because promises are received by faith. Maybe that's why so often we experience a powerlessness in our personal witness and in the witness of the church, because we just don't believe what Jesus has said to us. Yes, Jesus asks us to believe a lot. And when you see the death grip that Satan has on a metropolitan area like Chicagoland, I grant you the promise is hard to believe. But brothers and sisters, you must remember that Satan had an even tighter grip on ancient Rome. That ancient metropolitan area. But there, the Apostle Paul says, they will listen. And his confession of faith must become our confession of faith. That you and I work together in the days and the months and the years ahead, let it be in the complete confidence that Jesus Christ stands behind the promises that He has made to us. And let's take hold of those promises and move forward. Take our place in the victory march of Jesus Christ in the years that He is pleased to give us together as pastor and people. Shall we pray? Lord our God, we do believe what Jesus has said. We do believe that people will listen and they will believe. Help our unbelief, O Lord, and fill us with a renewed zeal to be faithful and effective in our witness for Jesus Christ. Bless us, O Lord God, with the power of Your Spirit in the days ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.